Good morning, and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us. Going to have a lot to talk about today. Next hour, Greg Buck, we will lighten things up a little bit with a round of three headlines and a lie.
Okay.
I did not do so well last time.
No, you didn't, but I believe in you. Because you know why? It's tax day.
It is tax day. April 15th.
Yep.
For those who celebrate, happy tax day.
Happy to tax day, yeah. Those who celebrate.
Yeah, happy tax day. We'll get to that in just a minute. But a little reminder from the Wisconsin DNR. They are asking us to avoid all outdoor burning. We still have these elevated fire dangers across the state. Mm-hmm. And on Saturday, there were 37 fires burning over 300 acres.
Oh, my gosh.
The single most active wildfire day so far this year.
That's craziness.
And it's only April. So, you know, this is leftover dry grass from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it seems like we've gotten a fair amount of rain, apparently it just hasn't been enough. And it's not consistent across the state.
Correct. Yeah. Yep. So just be careful.
Yeah. Don't just hold off for the next couple of days if you can. If you have to do, you know, your trash pile or your branch pile or whatever, if you can just wait a couple of days. I know at least here in Waukesha, we have rain coming in tomorrow night, and then it's going to be rainy for the next couple of days.
So soak it in.
Yeah, soak it in, and hopefully that will take care of the issue. There's a really great editorial in the Cap Times today from Dave Zweifel, who's actually been on the show before, but he says, too, happy income tax day. Like most Americans, you weren't happy if you had to send in some extra money to the government, in addition to all the withholding that comes out of your check during the year. But you paid your taxes to help the government keep running, providing for national defense, building roads, bridges, helping our farmers, supporting victims of natural disasters, including the destruction of the Francis Scott Key Bridge and hundreds of other things. Too bad, though, says Mr. Zweifel in the Cap Times, not everyone has to pay their fair share like you do. ProPublica reporting in an investigation from a couple of years ago, secret IRS files that shed some light on how the richest Americans avoid paying taxes. They published data with an unprecedented look inside the lives of Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Rupert Murdoch, Mark Zuckerberg, that showed not just their income and taxes, but also their investments, their stock trades, gambling winnings, and the results of audits. ProPublica reported, taken together, it demolishes the cornerstone myth of the American tax system that everyone pays their fair share and the richest Americans pay the most. The IRS records show the wealthiest can, perfectly legally, pay income taxes that are a tiny fraction of the hundreds of millions, if not billions, that their fortunes grow every year.
We were talking earlier today on Pat's show on Up North News Radio, and he brought the example of Mark Cuban is very much a believer in paying taxes. He says, you know, I write that check every year. I'm happy to do it. That's my fair share. I know that all the, and that I thought about it for a second, and he has the most realistic idea. And I'm sure there are other rich people out there who pay their taxes and are happy to do so.
Absolutely.
But when we hear about people who, you know, don't support it or are leery or like, you know, that's my money. It's like, yes, but if you are of those people who are, you know, $10, $15 million in wealth or richer, you get done paying that check, you send it to the IRS, they cash it, comes out of your account. I got great news for you. You're still rich. You're still absolutely, disgustingly, almost offensively wealthy. You'll be fine.
Did Pat tell you how much Mark Cuban paid?
I think it was like $288
million because I saw the tweet when he put it up yesterday. Yep, I'm happy to write my check for $288 million to the IRS because that's what you do when you're an American.
I mean, I'm all for paying your fair share, but deduct something. Deduct a cheeseburger or something.
Right? You must have some write-offs.
Yeah.
Just 2 months ago, IRS Commissioner Danny Werfel announced that America's millionaires and billionaires are evading more than $150 billion a year in taxes, adding to growing government deficits and creating a lack of fairness in the tax system. But thanks to billions of dollars in new funding from Congress, the IRS did launch a crackdown. And they've had some pretty substantial results, because we've talked about this before.
Yes, we have.
And I would like to remind folks, there were some at the time who were saying, no, 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 we don't need more IRS agents. They're coming for people like you.
What was it, 72,000 or 27? There was a number. There was a number they kept. It was like the boogeyman. 72,000 new agents.
All coming for you.
Coming for all of your dollars.
Yeah, and they're not. They're going after the big guys who have been getting away with this for decade after decade after decade.
Yeah. Now, if you are one of these people who aren't rich, but you are shirking your responsibility, don't worry. They'll get to you.
Oh, yeah. They'll come to you, too.
But you are what they call, in the IRS terms, small taters. They don't really worry about you right now. They'll get to you. But, yeah, these are the people who have those accounts that they're not paying tax on, who just, you know, sit on their pile of money going, I don't pay taxes. That's theft.
Leona Helmsley said only little people pay taxes. Only the little people. I remember that well.
Wow, what a reference. What a quirky lady she was.
That's going back quite a ways.
Yeah.
For other folks who might remember Leona Helmsley. But
Didn't she leave a bunch of money to her dog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her dog lived a really good life.
Yeah.
After she was gone. Yeah, she left all her money to her dog. Again, we're referencing an article in the Cap Times today by Dave Zweifel. It's a great piece. There are those who can afford high-powered lawyers to take advantage of every loophole in the tax code and have creatively found ways to avoid taxes that most of the rest of us pay. And Congress has no stomach to ask the wealthy to pay more. Both sides of the political aisle, and this is true, both sides of the political aisle are beholden to big money donors.
Oh, God, yeah. And let's not forget, too, that members of Congress hold big money.
Oh, yeah.
And many of them have gotten that big money through being in Congress, being in the Senate, betting on the stock market, getting inside information. This is not conspiracy theory. These are provable facts about them drastically increasing their wealth from when they step into office, from when they retire. And, you know, they have no reason to help us then. They're quote unquote for us, but
things are good for them.
Yeah. Great job if you can find it, as we always say here at the Jane, Matt, and Air Show. Great job. Great work if you can find it.
Great work if you can get it. Absolutely. Great work if you can get it. The one thing that this has done since they got that tens of billions of dollars in new funding, and this was through the Democrats' Inflation Reduction Act, they were able to hire a bunch of more people, which means that they can actually answer the phone now.
Yes. Yeah.
The IRS.
Novel thought.
Well, the thing about the IRS says call wait times have been cut down to 3 minutes. Compared in 2022, it was 28 minutes.
Honestly, that's not bad. I thought you were going to say 28 hours. I mean, if you told me if I left my taxes to today.
And some folks do.
And they do. I know someone who's doing them today. No shame. It's the deadline. Whatever. Do your thing. But if you told me that my taxes were due today and I was doing them today and I came across something where I had to call the IRS, I would probably say to myself, I'd rather just take a fine than sit on the phone.
Because you're going to be waiting for so long.
Waiting for long, but you won't be now. And also you can file for an extension, probably do that online and all the good stuff. But yeah, I'm glad they've made it a little bit easier. It should be easier. You know, whenever you'd say like I had to go to the Social Security office or the DMV or call the IRS, you're like, oh God. Or I had to call unemployment at the beginning of the lockdown with a question on unemployment. 5.5 hours.
You waited on hold for 5.5 hours?
Yeah, because I knew because usually you can't get in at all because they have a system that'll throw you off. So once I got that ring, I let it ring and then it had me on hold. And I had it on speaker. I had it plugged in and I sat in my bed and watched Community because I had nothing else to do that day because the world was on fire.
Oh my goodness.
So thank you to the IRS and thank you to the Inflation Reduction Act for having that as a part of this.
Definitely. Again, the call wait times now are down to 3 minutes compared to almost a half an hour in 2022, and that saved taxpayers 1.4 million hours of hold time. And the IRS has answered 3 million more calls compared with the same time frame from 2022.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, there are 12 states now, aren't there, where you can file with, you don't have to go to a tax preparer.
Yeah, that's starting to become more and more popular. It should be the thing, and they've tried to do this, but this is another example of how heavy the lobbying is in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can get into a state that does that, it'll drastically reduce your, I mean, inconvenience. It won't be an inconvenience at all. It's beautiful. It should be the way. It's how other countries do it too. I mean, they don't actually have, if I'm not mistaken, they don't have tax days. They just, they take your tax and then.
That I cannot speak to.
Yeah. As I'm watching you right now, I know I'm wrong. I'm so sorry, the people listening. I'm a fraud.
Andrew on the live stream has a comment. I'd be interested in some economists determining how much of our federal revenue would increase if the corporate tax income rate was set at 10% of gross revenue sales minus refunds only, no deductions. I would be interested also.
I'd be interested in that as well. And also someone would have to sit me down and explain that to me about four times.
The Associated Press reporting that the IRS's agenda is to deliver better service for all Americans so that we can ease stress, frustration, and make the tax filing process easier. Also to increase scrutiny on complex filers where there's the risk of tax evasion. And that's where things get tricky. It's those people with the really complicated returns. It takes a lot to dig into to find out what's going where and what's not going where. So anyway, it is tax day. File for that extension. If you have questions, call the IRS. Apparently, it'll take about 3 minutes.
Exactly.
That's what many people are saying.
I mean, I can imagine probably some people listening have said, who have stories of like, I was on there for like, you know, 2 hours and no one ever helped me. So
good
thank
luck.
You. Thank good you. Luck. And good luck to those who participate.
Absolutely. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join the conversation. Call, text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We're talking about, it is April 15th. It is tax day. Make sure you file your taxes or file for an extension. We were talking about the fact that the IRS hired thousands more agents, so their response times are actually faster, and they've been able to track down and get money from a whole bunch of really wealthy people who were not paying their taxes.
Tax cheats, we call them.
Yes, we would call that a tax cheat.
And during our break, I looked it up. In fact, Australia does do a system similar to ours. It's easier, as it says, it's between April to October, and I apologize for coming off sounding so dumb. And so American.
But you owned it.
I own it. You absolutely. Owned it. I love nothing more than to say I was wrong, because then I get to learn a little bit.
Absolutely. Gary from Sussex is on the line. Good morning, Gary. Thank you so much for joining us. How you doing?
Good. A couple of comments. I got my own business. I'm a heating contractor.
Yep.
And doing our taxes is a nightmare for my wife and I. And she's my business partner. And, see, the thing is, I believe everybody should pay their fair share, obviously. But, you know, the richest people in the world are the ones who are creating all the jobs also. And I have no problems finding every single stinking little loophole that they can use. I mean, if it's legal, great. I use every one that I can find as far as washing my clothes. my uniform and stuff like mm-hmm. that. That is the tax deduction, you know. So that, yeah, I can save on soap and stuff like that. You know, just little things like that. But as far as the IRS getting 80,000 new IRS guys, that scares me a little bit because yeah. If they go after the big guys, they're eventually going to go after the littler guys, you know. And I'm under the $400,000 a year people, you know. I'm not even close to that.
Right.
But the thing is, these people that are very rich create a lot of jobs. And if you start nailing them, it's going to come back to haunt everybody. It's going to hurt the people that work for them. The product that they produce is going to go up in price. And so... they're not the villains. I think that they're the good people. And getting people that aren't paying their taxes, yeah, they should, you know, look into that. And I agree with that. But the rich people are not really the evil people. They're the ones who are creating all the jobs for everybody.
Well, I don't know that I agree with that entirely. I mean, and unfortunately, you can go back to the movie Wall Street with Michael Douglas when he talks about where American wealth came from. And so a third is inherited wealth, a third is earned, and then a third is hedge fund guys who make nothing. They buy things and sell things off. And I can remember after the crash in 2008 and being told, you know, just be grateful you have a job. Just be grateful you have a job. I'm the job creator. Aren't you lucky you work for me? Well, when I was making a good living, I was a job creator. I had a cleaning lady. I would go for regular manicures. That's helping create jobs. You don't have to just be a very wealthy person to be putting money into the economy and helping people make a living, right?
Yeah, but you know, during a crash, people can actually make money. During the crash of 2008,
yeah, that was who can make money,
anybody,
Gary?
Anybody can. Well, okay, first of all, I
how
did, all right? I pulled, when the crash came, I pulled all of my money, put in a stable fund, which is making like hardly any money at all in the stock market. There was really nothing in the stock market. It was just in other stuff. Okay. Then in March of 2009, I went heavily back into it because I just felt it was going to go up. I made a ton of money in the stock market because of the crash. So every time the stock market goes down, if you're smart and pull it out and make it more stable and then stick it in, you know, 6-7 months later, a year later, you're going to make a lot of money. Just like the stock market just recently. Oh. It went down to what, 35,000, then it went up to 40,000.
Yep.
You know?
Thank you, Gary. Really appreciate it very much, as always. Appreciate you checking in.
Okay, a couple of things. First of all, not everybody has the availability to money to invest. So, and I take a lot of issue with calling people smart when they make money versus people who don't make money. They're not dumb. They might not have the ability to make money or have enough money to invest. That's just an unfair statement to make. Also, we aren't talking about billionaire companies that are paying their fair share and doing what they're doing. We're talking about tax cheats again. We're not talking about, well, first of all, Amazon and Google, they don't pay taxes, but they do what you love, Gary, which is find all the legal loopholes to completely screw this country out of paying taxes. And that falls on us, me and you, the little guys who make far less than $400,000. I'm trying to not get heated, but I'm a little heated right now. Also, they may create jobs, but they take them away. There are companies that are cutting thousands of people at a time. And these companies like Google and Amazon, people are trying to say, oh, see, the Bidenomics are totally making these companies fire people. No. They're firing people to take advantage of different tax credits and availabilities to save money. They're not doing it because they're going out of business. These companies are fine. They're doing it because it's going to save them money. And they're doing that by uncreating jobs. I get really sick and tired of being told that these companies create jobs. They do, yeah. But you're right. You create jobs, Jane, when you hire people to help you out. But I will not treat these behemoth, monolithic companies like I owe them something. I already give them enough of my money. And so to tell me that they deserve to cheat, which is what they are doing legally, they are cheating on their taxes. sorry, that doesn't work for me. That doesn't work. That's not American. That's not cool. That's not patriotic. That's nothing to me.
Well, and the other thing I think, too, going back to Gary's point about your ability to make money, yeah, there were people who made a whole bunch of money after the crash in 2008. They were called hedge funds who came in and bought up all the homes that people were forced to leave because they could no longer afford their mortgages.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can make money. Depends upon how you want to do it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I take a lot of issue with the idea of, like, you know, if you're smart, you'll do this. Well, you know what? There are a lot of smart people out there who are working three jobs just to pay for diapers for their kids. And I don't really appreciate them being left out of the equation when they're working harder than most of us are. So that's my point.
There's Greg Bach. Soapbox corner.
I've spoken what I need to speak, and I'm done for the day. Goodbye. I'm taking a nap.
News is on the way next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Kelvin on the board screening your calls. If you want to call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, it is tax day, April 15th. We were talking about that a little bit before the bottom of the hour news. Jack from Merrimack texting in, the richest people in the world are the ones creating the jobs. In the last billionaire and corporate tax giveaway, the vast amount of money that was used for stock buybacks and other stock purchases, which just made them richer. Yes.
Yep.
And I didn't realize this until last week that companies didn't used to be able to do that.
Yeah, it used to be illegal.
It used to be illegal.
Until?
Ronald Reagan.
The king of trickle-down economics and his portrayal that it's a good thing that companies create the money, the jobs, and create the money, and it falls upon our heads, and we should be thankful for it.
I did not realize that that used to be illegal, but it was. Companies were not allowed to do stock buybacks, which essentially just enriches their investors.
There's a reason why the richest of the rich have gotten richer like 400% over the past 35 years versus, like, you know, like I don't even know the number off the top of my head, but the difference between what a CEO makes and what a regular person makes back in like the 70s.
Oh, it's 300-1 now.
Yeah, it's disgusting. There's like, should a CEO make more money?
Yes, absolutely.
They have a big job. It's a 24/7 job. There's probably no vacation. There's probably, even when you're on vacation, you're not working. I've never been the CEO of a company. But yes, you should receive compensation for the work you do. Does it mean you should make $30 million a year with maybe $200 million in bonuses, which also means you, like, no, there's no job, in my opinion, hard enough where someone should be able to make $200-300 million a year. I don't care who it is. I don't think Taylor Swift works hard enough to become a billionaire. Sorry. I just said it.
You're going to really tick off people now.
You can at me at Calvin Butenhoff at angelfire.net.
Don't take on the Swifties, man. You're going to lose.
I love Swiftie. I do, but she's doing exactly what Gary was talking about earlier. She's playing the game as well. That's what you do to make that money. You find the loopholes. You hire certain ways, you pay certain ways. You make that money, you keep that money, and then that money grows. She's worth $1 billion now. It's what, the 15th of April? I'll bet you by next year she's worth $1.5 billion.
Well, and some of that's going to be investments.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't hate rich people either. I just think it's ridiculous.
Again, I think people would just like to make sure that they are paying what they should be paying.
And Taylor Swift seems like the type of person who's like Mark Cuban. She's like,
I'll pay it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Cuban wrote a check and he put it all over Twitter yesterday. I'm sending in a check for $280 million to the IRS, and this is what I do because I'm an American.
Can you imagine being the person, like, opening them, like, hey, can I get a manager to clear this one? This is a bigger one. I
would have to count the zeros, like, 9 times just to make sure it was the right amount. All right, speaking of money, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We talked about this briefly on Friday. The Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors.
Your favorite people.
Yes. Had posited a 36% raise for 3 Milwaukee County elected officials. That was vetoed by Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Supervisors kind of decided to go around that with no discussion, of course. No discussion. On Friday, the supervisors reconvened and gave them all an 11.5% raise.
For their troubles.
That's still a pretty generous raise.
They're all making 6 figures now.
The positions currently make about $91,500 yearly. This will jump to $102,000 in 2025 for these positions. All 3 of them are up for re-election in fall. These include Treasurer David Cullen, County Clerk George Christensen, and Register of Deeds Israel Ramon. I don't know these people. I have nothing against these people. You do a good job. Yes, you should get rewarded and you should get a raise. But I just think with all of the monetary problems Milwaukee County has had in the last 2 decades, this is not the time to be handing out 11.5% raises.
And it's also very well documented in the article we referenced last week, which you can find online. I'll link it today in the show notes. The Bruce Murphy article. Those jobs do not require 3 people to do them. In fact, it could be 1 person doing all 3 or 3 people at part-time level.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do not consider myself a cynical person, Jane. I really don't. I'm a skeptical person, but I don't like being a cynic. I don't think it would do me well in my heart. But this is one where I've said to you before we got on air, I was like, do you think this was all a game? And what I mean by that is when this first came up, the article first came up, County Executive David Crowley was in favor of this raise.
The 36%. Yes. Yep.
Originally, he was for it. Then he came out against it and he vetoed the raises.
Because I think he got some heat.
He got some heat. But then the county supervisors just went around him and passed it anyways. So I'm just wondering if this was all just
that wasn't the deal.
The deal was I gotta take some heat off my off this all. I'm gonna veto it. You just come around and pass it. We'll bring down the raises. They're still gonna make a buttload. That is a technical term of money.
That's an economic term.
Yeah,
I believe.
Exactly. Yes. I think Friedman talks about that in his most popular books, but. You take care of it. No one knows who you are anyways, except for the people who live in your district.
Right. And that's questionable.
And you can deal with the 2 phone calls you're going to get. I don't need this kind of heat. I need to be the hero. And so we have 3 guys making $306,000 between them after 2025. After what? A 2% raise on tax and a $272 million referendum that just went through for school,
right.
Which I'm totally in favor of
for MPS
for yeah. MPS and taking care of our schools. But like you said, Jane, this is not fiscally responsible.
Well, and again, I would have been cool with 4%, 5%, which I think for most people is what we get. I think in my 42 years doing this, I think the biggest raise I ever got was 15% over 2 years because the station was getting sold and I was an asset and I had leverage.
Wow.
Yeah. That was the only time I ever managed to pull that off.
Did you walk out of the studio that day being like, I have leverage?
No, I remember leaving the parking lot after my general manager was done yelling at me saying, why won't you sign this? Then I'm going to wait, take my chances.
Yeah. I mean, and I worked a job in government, by the way, which people say, you know, nice if you can find it. I worked there for 6 years. I got one raise in 6 years. It was a 2.6% raise to combat a 5.2% pay cut because of Act 10 and 32.
Oh, wow.
So 11% is amazing.
It is. It's
36 is criminal, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And again, especially with the money woes of Milwaukee County are well known, that's just massively irresponsible. And I still think 11.5 is too much, too.
Absolutely. I don't disagree. I think the maximum should be 5% cut. And that, like, maybe every 2 years. For that, for six figures after that, you don't get a raise every year.
It's a pretty good living.
Yeah. I'm in the wrong business.
I think many of us are in the wrong business. Absolutely.
Oh, we just got a text who disagrees with us.
Okay.
Listening, 414, you know money ding-dongs have no clue what you're talking about. I'm going to frame that. Up there with buffoon clown Bach. I love this one. You know money ding-dongs. Hmm.
That was it?
That was it. I mean, they gotta
I thought keep, there would be more of an explanation.
No, they got to keep that FCC compliant.
Why we're, you know, details, folks. Details, details.
The devil's in the details. You know money ding-dongs. Calvin, I'm charging you with a new task. Find us a no money's ding-dong sound effect. I don't know what it is, but you'll find it.
Otherwise, the more merch.
We need merch.
More merch for the show.
Folks, especially on the live stream, I think you're going to get creative. What can Matt and Aaron Air have for merch?
Oh, we'll take all your suggestions. Yep. Another story in today's Journal Sentinel, while we're talking about money, and this is Milwaukee specific, and this is about the Social Development Commission. So they had were running a federally funded weatherization program.
Yeah.
That is the Social Development Commission's largest program. It's designed to reduce low-income households' energy costs and consumption and serves about 700 needy families every year. The chief executive officer, George Hinton, admitted that the SDC is on shaky financial ground and is predicting it's going to take 4 years to get this weatherization program operating again because it's currently under suspension. SDC has a $30.5 million operating budget. The weatherization budget up $6.7 million, up from $6.2 million. Meanwhile, the agency leaders say they're still trying to figure out how the funds got misplaced and what impact, if any, this will have on the future of this agency. The head of the agency, this Mr. Hinton, his pay package increased 17% from 2018 to 2022.
It's like he works for the county of Milwaukee.
Going from $187,000 to $218,000. The error was made by one individual in the Social Development Commission's finance department, according to Mr. Hinton. The individual has not been laid off.
Of course not.
The individual has not been named. Hinton said it's a personnel issue. I'm not skilled enough to look into the deep detail of our accounting.
What? And that today is, sorry, I've been saying, and that, folks, today is our head scratcher. That's crazy.
It is crazy. Hinton has been at the helm of the SDC since 2013. He said he became aware the taxpayer money was being used inappropriately during the financial review with the state, and he's pretty confident the state money wasn't stolen, but instead used in other SDC programs. Quote, it is not something that I think is at the level of someone going to jail for. It's something that somebody did and they shouldn't have done.
Well,
it's as simple as that.
If you're not naming names and you're not firing people, I know for sure no one's going to jail for it. So I think that person should just sit easy because... Did they order too many pizzas at the pizza party? Did they, you know, would
I think that there's more money involved than that.
I mean, yeah, exactly. It's like, and also, don't tell me what you think. I don't care what you think as far as like, well, I don't think that's something someone would do. That's really trusting when you're talking about that much money in a program where, like, how many government programs are there? Thousands.
Oh, yes.
Money gets lost all the time. And it's about like, it's like the movie Office Space, where it's you don't take $100,000. You take $100,000 over 5 years in small amounts. This is probably what they're doing. And now they found it.
Social Development Commission hopes an internal investigation will help answer the questions about the misallocation. It's believed the states will pay the unpaid contractors, not the SDC, because the SDC has been contracting with all of these people for these weatherization programs. Yeah. Now they're waiting for their money.
Yeah. So now it's on the states' tab.
I'm sure this will be an ongoing piece.
Good Lord.
But it's in today's Journal Sentinel if you want to check it out. We will put that in the show notes
after
the show when we get the podcast posted. And just a reminder, go to our website, civicmedia.us. Mm-hmm. Great news content there. Our news team is doing gangbusters lately. Also, download the Civic Media app.
I was just about to say.
Any place where you get your apps, it's free. And you can listen to all the stations all across the state on the vast Civic Media Radio Network. All right. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air. We're coming to you on, the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tell me, baby, why you take my time? You get a thrill of playing with my mind. Are you fair to me?
On trial again, DC and Manhattan, and in Georgia and Florida.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. You can always join the conversation. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Karina from Milwaukee has been very patient hanging on the phone. Good morning, Karina.
Good morning. You know, Jane, I'm with you with the whole race situation. I just don't understand how stupid they think we are. Because they just increased taxes due to not enough money in the budget. So we pay now taxes more for ourselves in Milwaukee. And yet they do have enough money in the budget to increase their own pay for 36%. I'm sorry, but I'm not that stupid.
It's just a lot, Karina, right? 36% is very, very generous. That's not what they got, because David Crowley did veto that. But they still got 11.5%, which I think is a pretty generous raise. It's always been my understanding 4%, 5%, if you're lucky.
Again, we're
just Greg Bach. I'm just working in the wrong industry, and it's my own fault. And I'm a no money ding dong.
No money ding dong. A 5 or 6% raise, I'd be running down the street
celebrating.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you, Karina. As always, really appreciate it. You can always join us as well, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Before the top of the hour news, we did want to talk about, it's a first.
Mm.
Donald Trump, the first U.S. president to be impeached twice, the first former president to be indicted by state and federal grand juries on charges ranging from election interference to misappropriation of documents. The first former president to be found liable for sexual assault. Donald Trump also becomes the first former president to stand trial on criminal charges today in New York. This is all centers on a fraud case on whether or not he doctored business records to hide hush money payments to two women he was fooling around with in order to protect his candidacy for the presidency. That's what this is about. This isn't about him paying off Stormy Daniels. It's about him hiding, trying to hide the payment to Stormy Daniels so it wouldn't come out before the election. And there is a remarkable article in New York Times Magazine, and we'll include this in the show notes as well. The headline says, "What I saw working at the National Enquirer during Donald Trump's rise." It's an article by Lachlan Cartwright. He's a journalist, mm-hmm. worked at the National Enquirer, and David Pecker, who owned AMI, owns AMI, which owned the National Enquirer, also has a big part in this with working with Trump to kill these stories.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. That's what people don't really realize is if you have friends who work in the newspapers, it's a phone call and a story about you never sees the light of
disappears.
Day. Yep.
Just disappears. Tim from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Tim. How you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. You know, earlier you were talking about CEO pay and all this stuff. Well, why don't they just go to, like, you know, they've got all these computers and programs and stuff. You don't really need a CEO. When they downsize, they have no, there's no feeling involved for the workers or anything. A computer or a robot can do all that. So just eliminate the CEO and do it with the computers. Save a lot of money, huh?
Yeah, we would save a lot of money, right? And that's interesting that you mentioned that, Tim, because it's always, you know, if workers don't accept what they're offered, mm-hmm. you're going to be replaced by a robot.
Yeah.
We're going to replace you by a robot. Now Tim is kind of turning that back on them, saying, we're going to replace you with a robot.
Yeah, but do you think a robot has a good swing in the back nine?
Does he appreciate yachting?
Yeah, exactly.
Does he have a helicopter pad on his yacht?
Do robots even yacht, bro? Yeah, if you eliminated the CEO, the CFO, and like half the board members, I mean, that money would be flush with cash.
Well, and then I think what makes it particularly egregious as well is when we have a company like Boeing, which has been having major problems, obviously, with oopsie little, you know, poof, doors flying off and things like that in the middle of a flight. And then they give him a $43 million package.
Yep.
Where else can you get rewarded that well for being so bad at what you do?
Great job creator. It's the first time ever where, like, if you're flying on a Boeing plane, which you most likely are, because if you're not, it's going to be that and an Airbus. But most likely, if you're in America, Boeing, when you land and people start clapping, you're like, oh, no, this is warranted now.
Yeah.
This is good stuff. I feel good now.
We made it.
Sacramento, here I come.
Nothing flew off.
Yeah.
Yay, that was a good flight.
Gold star.
Yeah. Well, again, we will put this link to this article because Donald Trump is in court right now and he is required to be there.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
They're just starting with jury selection today. They think that's going to take about 2 weeks. It's got to be really difficult for him to be quiet.
It's impossible. It's impossible. Well, first of all, and I mentioned this today on Pat's show, is if I got called for jury duty, they bring me in, they say, like, Mr. Bach, be like, just look at my Twitter. I'll go home now. Goodbye. Have a good day. And also, I mean, it's weird because he's been embroiled in so many other trials and scandals and all these things. And by the way, had he known what he knew now, he never would have paid anybody because he would have known sleeping with a former adult film actor and like all that stuff wouldn't have affected him at all. It only makes him look more powerful, more virile, more manly, more American.
Maybe to men.
To some women too. I mean, we've watched those interviews with Jordan Klepper on The Daily Show where,
true.
I mean, it takes all kinds to worship at the altar of Trump. But like, you know, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, we were talking about the trial of the century, OJ. Now this is the trial of this century.
We will have updates for you, I'm sure, coming up next with the top of the hour news. And then when we return, cross your fingers, three headlines and a lie. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Trial again. There were nuclear secrets.
that I stacked in my bathroom to be shared with my friends. I hope to stay free. Life in prison would harden me. I wish I could self-pardon me. I'm on trial again.